Hey,
Blog
everybody.
Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lana's Talk. Tonight we are going to have Charles Claiborne on as a guest so that we can talk about the United Transportation Association. We are going to talk about the things that the association has been able to accomplish in the last couple of weeks and some exciting things to come. I am here in Grand Ledge, Michigan now with Yanni Florian and Claudia Florian and Charles Claiborne, and we're going to do some big things this week, guys. Well, in the next few days, anyway. So let's get this party started. Okay. All right. We're going to get all these things up and... Hey.
Welcome to Michigan, everybody.
Hello. How's everybody doing tonight? Thanks for joining in. If you just got on here, we are going to talk about the United Transportation Association tonight. All of the hard work that's been being put into it, you know, by our good buddy here, Charles.
It's a team effort.
Yeah, you know, and the Florians, and you guys are more than welcome to call into the show and ask questions. The number to call in is going to be
516-387-1733.
And you can follow the prompts, and if I see a question mark out beside your number, I'll know that you want to get on the show, and I will put you on. So,
okay, what's the number one more time?
It is going to be 516-387-1733.
Call in, guys. Questions, call in to say whatever you need to say.
I know that everybody has questions about what Charles Claiborne has been up to, what Lana Danko has been up to, you know, because I guess we're the up to kind of people right now. So, up to, yeah.
You're 5'3", I'm 5'3".
Yeah, yeah, so.
Well, Claudia, she's like 4'3", 4'2", 4'0".
Is 4'0". All right. Hey, Mary, how's it going? I hope that you really enjoyed the clothes that the
That's right. You guys did a fundraiser to get Mary some new clothes.
Yeah, we did.
She got her hoodies.
She got her package, and she really likes the clothes that she got.
That's awesome.
We still have to go out and get her hoodies
and
her
T-shirt.
A special T-shirt that is being made specifically for her. So I'm excited for her to get that. Let's see, what else have we been doing? We have been helping Gary Bakley. He is a owner operator that has been diagnosed with cancer, and a GoFundMe account has been set up for him. So you guys can donate money to him. When you're thinking about going to McDonald's to buy a Happy Meal, a number one, a Big Mac, you know, that's $10 that you could give to him. He has been in this industry over 30 years. He has a very big heart. He comes from a horrible background, foster homes, being homeless, on the street. He is a self-made man.
And trucking did that for him.
He has a show truck that he is very proud of, and I would hate for him to have to sell that truck to keep from losing his home, you know, making the choices of how do I pay my mortgage this month, because they're saying that even after his chemo and radiation starts that it's going to be at least 8 months before he can even get back to work. And you know, that truck is his inspiration. That truck is what's going to give him the drive to want to fight, because he wants to get back in it. He wants to work. He wants to be out on the highway. So it needs to be setting in his driveway to give him the strength to get up and to fight.
We have to take care of our own. All we have is each other.
That's all we have is each other.
Charity is one of the greatest acts a person can commit. And you know, the big thing is you don't always have to tell people when you've done something charitable. One of the nice things about it is you can just do it. And usually that's rewarding itself. But sometimes people need a hand and somebody has to help them. So that's what this industry usually does, and that's what I hope they do in Gary's case. That's what, you know, that's what we did in Mary's case. That was charity, making sure that we took care of someone that supports the industry. That young woman loves trucks. She loves truck driver. She's just a great individual.
She is
helping her. And by the way, that was all Lana.
No, it wasn't.
I wouldn't have known anything about what happened to Mary if Lana hadn't told us what happened. So that's pretty simple.
And I wouldn't have been able to do what I did get done without the help of you and the Florians. So it was a team effort.
So Gary has a GoFundMe. Stephen Oatley actually posted it on Freight Broker Live.
Yes, he did.
Believe it. Yes, he did. So there's links that you can find Gary's GoFundMe. If you want to help Gary, I encourage you, give what you can give. He's got a long road ahead of him, and none of us want to wake up in the morning and have to face that beast in the eye. So whatever you can do to help Gary, that would be appreciated. So.
Yep, exactly. And that's
what do you want to talk about first?
I want to talk about what is the reasoning behind creating, because there are so many organizations out there that are supposed to be for the individual truckers that are supposed to be out there to help us with fight regulations to make a better industry. There are so many organizations out there, and you know, we have heard the same spiel over year after year after year. We have joined in and participated in the slow roads, the protesting, the shutting down, and nothing. It's been, you know, broken promises, wishful thinking, hyping us up, you know, and really getting the industry involved to get nothing. It's like a bad marriage is pretty much what it is between these organizations that are out there that are supposed to be representing us and helping us to make a change in the industry and promising you, oh, well, I'm sorry, it didn't work this time, but I promise you next time. So what is it about United Transportation Association that you think is going to be, or you know is going to be different than any of these other organizations that are out there that have been doing this for a while?
With the exception of OLIDA and a couple other smaller owner-operator organizations, there isn't an organization at this level, okay? This organization has smaller trucking companies possible for us to fund the building. The IT people, all this hardware, gear, and benefits, and insurance, and compliance, you know, all these things that a lot of the smaller grassroots groups don't have. And the other thing, the reason I think it's been so much more successful and it works is nobody, these guys want to drive their trucks, right? This is what we've heard from a lot of people who become members. They want to drive their trucks. They don't want to worry about if the information they're getting is accurate. They don't want to worry about who's contacting the representatives and speaking for them. This isn't a group where we have 50 people sitting on their cell phones talking over each other. There's a structure here. We have chosen a president, a vice president, a CEO, members of the board, advisory committees, and we don't have a lot of outside interference because we're away from the where the masses gather, right? Anybody can get a hold of me. Anybody can get a hold of us here at the number. Anybody can get a hold of you. They can get on Facebook. Someone said today, in essence, what we've done when we joined UTA is we hired you to go do this. We don't want to worry about it, right? They don't want to have to be out there doing this stuff. They want someone to speak for them. They want someone to tell them what's going on. Like, we published all the emails, right? Transparency. That was another thing. We don't do anything and not let people know what we're doing. If we send an email, we make a copy of it, we post it to the Facebook page. We make a phone call, we tell everybody who we talked to, what we talked about. It's just like with the insurance thing, with HR2 and 3383. There were people running around there hyping this up and scaring people to death, thinking, this is going to happen, there's nothing we can do to prevent it. What are we going to do? Well, then you dig. You make the appropriate phone calls for the members, and you find out this thing doesn't have a chance of passing, right? Even if it got through Congress, even if it got through the lower chamber, it's never getting through the Senate.
because the Senate is controlled by the Republicans. And because this bill was not a bipartisan bill from the very beginning, none of them can work together. So now what we find is a week later, after all this happens, they're probably not even going to be able to get this bill passed, so we're going to end up with a short-term highway funding bill, and we're going to kick the can down the road even further. That's what's different about our organization at this point. Transparency, getting the people answers, posting the answers. You know, we showed them the emails from the congressman where they said, this is not going to see the light of day. This is right from the people casting the votes. It's not going to pass. And people had anxiety. You know, with some of the drivers I talked to today, they were thankful that they had that information because their anxiety levels are like this. And all the articles say it's a poison pill and the doomsday, and all people needed was accurate information. So when you spend the day doing what I do, it benefits the drivers. I think it relieves some anxiety when they know that they say, okay, you know, we didn't go from 30 members to 40 members to 50 members to 60 members and keep going. People are joining the organization because we're putting action into words and we're showing the fruits of our labor. They know who we're talking to. They know the information they get is correct because they can see it with their own two eyes. But they can focus on driving their truck and they don't have to worry about making that phone call because they say, you know what? We hired you to do that for us. We hired Lana and Yanni and the organization to go do this research to get us the answers and to bring it to us. And that's why we're going to be the successful of what we do. And the other thing is, I have learned temperament. I have learned not to respond to every criticism that someone could possibly throw at me. Because, face it, no matter how well you do, no matter how hard you try, there will be critics. But the one thing people don't want to see, and I think the reason we're growing with great success, is we have stayed out of the mud. We haven't responded to negativity. We've stayed focused on being positive, providing answers, and trying to bring value to being a member of this organization. Pride, dignity, someone who represents you appropriately, who dresses appropriately, who speaks appropriately. The president of an organization can't be losing his temper and responding to every negative comment he sees on Facebook.
No, because you would be a busy man. So, you know, I agree with that because the more time that you spend responding to or worrying about the negativity, that's less time that you're taking to focus on the things that really matter, and that's making a change in this industry, showing that the drivers that there is something new, but this time there is something new built under a different infrastructure, one that's going to work. Because I don't know about you, Charles, but I personally do not care if somebody does not like me, as long as they have faith in me that I'm going to take my energy and focus it into doing the right thing, and that is getting a change in the industry to make trucking enjoyable again.
Well, you know what they say, usually when someone doesn't like you, it's because someone told them not to like you. It's like small children. Small children don't learn hate. They don't learn to be mean to other children. They don't have the capability of being racist or evil or rotten. These behaviors are taught. People say things.
That's
people
right.
hear things. So I take it on face value that this is how I've tried to approach things lately. If this person has never done anything to me, they have never wronged me, why would I not at least remain friendly with a person, speak to a person? Why? Because somebody told me that this person was a bad person or they didn't like this person. Everyone likes to point fingers and say, this industry. No, this happens in every corner, every segment, every walk of life. People deal with this in every industry. It's not just trucking that has problems. It's not just trucking that couldn't find good leaders or couldn't find people that are willing to fight, because people are so, people are just so tired of hearing the same things all the time.
Yes.
And nothing ever gets done.
No.
And a lot of times, look, there are people that say, well, he doesn't finish things.
I've heard that.
So I like to harken back to the things we did in New York. And I said the reason things were so successful in New York was we were tackling an issue at home as a state together. And I always figured if you could duplicate what we did in New York, you could do that across the nation, right? You could bring people together. I mean, we got 400 trucks to go into a little town the day before Thanksgiving. And we stood up for ourselves. So you would think you'd be able to duplicate that on a national level, right? Wrong. Because what you had there were common bonds, people that worked the same industries, who knew, you knew each other's families. You passed each other on the New York State Thruway every day. We talked to each other on the CB. We talked to each other on the phone. We had a bond. So we took that bond and we put it together. So the only thing I finally figured out the other night, the only thing that's missing from this whole picture to be able to move forward is for people to start basing their opinions on other people in this industry on what have they done to me. Anything else? What is this person ever done anything to me? Has Lana ever done anything to me? Has Claudia ever done anything to me? Has Joe Denny ever done anything to me? Have any of these people ever done anything to me that I need to be talking badly about them or be upset? And the answer is no, they haven't. But somebody else told me somebody said something.
That's right.
So I don't put any focus on that anymore. I believe that once we overcome that we're all separate and we're segmented by a divider in the highway, when we realize there is common ground, you can duplicate the ability to bring all the voices and you can put them together and have one voice.
And what do you think? That's, you know, that's a huge challenge, is that because of the past, you know, and truckers voicing their opinion and screaming their feelings out and it them being, I guess you would be placated would be the word that you would use, because they are, oh, we hear you, and they try to comfort them and you know, just to get them to be quiet, because you hear it all the time. Oh, it's just another whiny truck driver crying about this or crying about that.
Or those people.
Politicians
speak about truck drivers. They say those people
So what do you think that it's going to take to put the faith back in to that truck driver for him to believe that believe that his voice does matter, that what he feels, what he needs, what he wants to make his job, his career, his profession a more relaxable, a more enjoyable place to be, to where he gets up every morning and he gets in that truck and he has a smile on his face and he's happy to be out there on the road, because he knows that if he has a problem, he has an organization that cares about him, cares about everything that pertains to his, every fiber in his body, and they're doing everything in their power to work to make this a better place for them. What do you think that it's going to take to get that belief and that faith back in this industry?
I think it's going to take exactly what we've been doing. I think it's going to take determination. I think it's going to take hard work, tolerance, the willingness to work with people that you may or may not like. It's going to take forgiveness in some cases. In a lot of cases, it's going to take forgiveness.
Forgiveness for what? I mean, it's not like, you know, I mean, there has there been personal attacks on people in this industry? Yes.
Absolutely.
There has been verbal personal attacks, gut-wrenching to the bone. But the problem is that this is not, I'm sorry, no, you can take this how you want to take it.
Sure.
This is a business.
Exactly.
This is not personal. This is a business, so we need to take our personal feelings and set them aside and realize that we are business people, and it is time for us to start. When you get into the profession of trucking, you are now a business person. So all of these little batterings that go on nonstop. You know, it's not this personal attack on somebody's character just needs to stop, or those people need to stop responding and realize that they are business people. And if you want to get anything accomplished in this industry, can you reconnect us? We've lost the
signal is dropping in this room.
Yeah,
we've lost both, and mine won't even reconnect.
Okay. It says
because
it's trying to reconnect.
It was picking us up, and see what it did.
Guys, hold on. We're having some technical difficulties here. So, yes, just hit reconnect. Okay. So, I don't
know why.
Yeah, we are still live. Oh, no. Shoot.
It still says the live. It won't let go. Look.
Let me have my phone.
You're live on which pages are you on?
Mine. My personal page.
Okay. Yeah.
Guys, hold on just a second. We're having some technical difficulties here.
Oh, she looks like a talk show host. For real.
I know you literally look like this.
This is aggravating me now.
So.
All right, guys. Give us just a second. We are having some technical difficulties here. So we're going to save this, and we're going to start a new live video. We're working on it. So we've lost our signal here. Well, you know, welcome to live shows. Here we go. We're going back live again, all right? Okay. We are back live on mine. If you'll put that back up there, that's great. We still have signal here on this one, Charles.
Switch now.
Over here. So,
mine reaches, but hers right where it's on both of us again.
Okay, we're back, guys.
So are we back live?
We're back live
on
mine.
We'll come back in a minute.
So,
we'll come flying back.
Page. Guys, hold on just a second. I'm sorry. Sorry about the technical difficulties. What does that say? It says start live.
Yep, you're right here.
You're right, Charles.
Okay.
You're here.
Yep.
I'm here.
Yep.
Let's go. We're gonna have to do this right. Ready? Welcome back.
Welcome back,
hello.
Guys.
Sorry.
Yeah, we had to take a little break there, but welcome back. So we were just talking about what it was going to take to get the faith restored in the truck drivers to believe that they have an organization that's going to represent them the right way, the politically correct way, and continue to do that and focus on being politically correct to get things accomplished in this industry. You know, not at either, you know, at work. I mean, we're moving. Just how long have you been here in Michigan?
Last Monday? Last Tuesday, something like that.
About a week.
Just a week? I thought you've been here too.
Oh, my God, it's been that long.
You've been here 2 weeks,
yeah.
I think.
This will be weekend number two, right?
Okay.
Okay, so 2 weeks.
So in 2 weeks, you have made contact with just throw it out there, numbers off it. How many state representatives have you made contact with?
18.
Senators?
9.
How many are in the Transportation Committee?
6 on the Senate side.
Okay.
And 5 on the Congressional side.
Okay. And you've sent out how many letters?
5. 5 letters.
5 letters.
Yep.
Okay. And so with that communication that you have formed, you have let them know about you and this organization.
Correct. Yep.
And what our goal is that we are looking to accomplish here. And you were able to relieve that stress about the Garcia 62. Yes. If nobody does not know what that is where we're trying to get the
insurance rate
for owner operators. I'm sorry. So you were able to get that taken care of. What else have we been able to get taken care of?
Well, there was your letter that you brought to me that you worked on.
Oh, about the hours of service, yeah.
We submitted that letter also today to the members on the Senate Transportation Committee and the congressional members on the Transportation Committee. And basically, do you have a copy of that letter in your file?
I do. Oh, what is going on?
Basically,
here?
What the letter said, guys, is the one thing everybody's looking for. The world is in turmoil. There's a lot of turbulence out there, a lot of unexpected things with protesters and rioters, people taking pot shots at our trucks, throwing rocks at things, a lot of uncertainty. And I think we may have some support for temporarily suspending the hours of service until we can restore some normalcy to hauling freight. Mike Moon actually started the idea and introduced it with Lana. Lana cleaned up some of the ideas and put some more ideas in the letter. And basically what the letter says is, I think we're going to let the Missouri legislature try to take a crack at this. And I decided, why not give it to Ted Cruz, to Roger Wicker, to Brian Babin, to Stephen Palazzo, and take it to the federal level and try to get some relief from the very people that we've been working with all week.
And I got a phone call from Mike Moon today that said that Becky Ruth is at the, who is Becky Ruth? Who is Becky Ruth?
Missouri legislature.
Is she, doesn't she sit
Governor
on
Parson.
The, doesn't she sit on the, Transportation Committee?
I don't believe so. Maybe in Missouri, at the Missouri state level.
So it says, so senators and representatives, I invite you to read the attached letter to Governor Parson and Missouri Federal Congressional Delegation and consider adding your signature to the letter. If you are willing to add your name to the letter, please respond to this message with an electronical image of your signature. To request for an exempt freight haulers from the HOS requirement, it is vital important to continue safe delivery of goods, not only in Missouri destinations, but across the country, guys. Since this is an urgent need, I will plan to forward this letter by Thursday at 5 p.m. Well, he called me and said that Becky, gosh, what is her last name? Becky Ruth had called him and said that she was unaware of anything that was going on like this, and she would like to be actively involved in this because she is working with Elaine Chao and Jim Mullen on deregulations, and so she doesn't understand why this is the first time that she's heard anything about this.
Things move slow.
So.
But we've sped it up.
Yes. And
between
so.
Your hard work and Mike's hard work and everybody's hard work. I wish you just had a copy of the letter.
I've got a letter. It's right here. Yeah, let's read it. It's right here. So I have a letter that we have written. It's right here. So let's slide this baby over there so you can. Let's move this over here and move this over here. Uh-oh. Party foul, guys. Party foul.
Okay, so we're going to read you the actual letter that came from the Missouri representative that's been forwarded to the congressional delegations. Hang on 1 minute. Okay, you ready? Yeah. Reports of violence are commonplace across the United States. Violent protests threaten the disruption of American lives and commerce. Specifically, individuals who transport goods across the country have been threatened and or met with violence. Because of the increased risk, truckers must be afforded every opportunity to travel safely and deliver their loads to the intended destination. Often, the safest route is not the quickest or direct one. Unfortunately, due to the restrictive hours of service requirement, drivers are not afforded the ability to reroute their trip because the trip clock may not allow sufficient time for an extended route. The inability to choose the safest route places drivers in imminent danger of assault, injury, and or death, potential loss of freight, and damage to their vehicles. It is more than ironic that at least in some instances, no charges have been brought against the offenders.
Not one.
These people are in violation of the Hobbs Act, and these attorney generals have done nothing to protect us as an industry.
Truckers must be free to exercise their best judgment when called upon to serve Missourians and Americans by delivering goods across our land. One specific action you are called to take is to exempt truck drivers from the hours of service requirement, at least until a sense of normalcy is reached.
Normalcy.
I don't expect we're going to have that for quite some time out there.
Yeah.
So, please contact U.S. Secretary Elaine Chao to request an immediate HOS exemption. Guys, remember, when we were in D.C., he told Scalia and Chao and all the others, there's a magic wand, get rid of some of the problems. Do something to help these people.
Yeah.
Now we have state legislatures that understand our industry is in a dangerous and precarious position. You can help by calling your state legislatures, and if you need a copy of this letter, to get, if you live in Ohio, you live in Indiana, this letter can be given just the way it is. It's the intent of the letter and what the letter spells out. Sometimes, if you want relief, if you want a way to fix something, you have to do something. You can't sit back and wait for others to do it. Mike Moon didn't, Lana didn't, I didn't, but now you need to help. So we do the work, we give you the tools, you need to make the phone calls. We will give this letter to anybody that would like to see it. It's public, it's common knowledge.
Yeah, there's more.
So this is what the rest of the letter says. This simple act to exempt freight haulers from the hours of service requirements must be done post haste.
Right
now.
Now.
The undersigned are calling upon you to exercise your authority to ensure the safe passage of much needed freight from origin to final destinations without the undue burden of watching the clock.
The clock. And we have some signatures already on this. If you want to, yeah, let's talk about who's already signed off on this thing. Oh shoot, we went there. You know, gotta go.
Okay,
here we go.
You ready, guys?
You guys wanna? Okay, here we go.
Senator Roy Blunt.
Senator Josh Hawley.
Representative Lacey Clay Jr.
Representative Ann Wagner.
Representative Blaine Luxmeyer.
Representative Vicki Hartzler.
Representative Emmanuel Cleaver.
Representative Sam Graves.
Sam Graves, Transportation Committee. Representative Billy Long.
And Representative Jason Smith.
Soon to be added to the list, Representative Clay Higgins and Representative Katko.
There we go. So we need many more senators and congressmen's signatures on this letter. The more that we can get on here, the quicker that we can get these hours of service to be exempt so that we can just do our job and do it safely and not have to worry about chasing that clock, not worrying about not being able to reroute ourselves or stop until a volatile situation has calmed down. And the way that we get this done is you call your state representatives, you tell them that there is a letter circulating.
We will send it for you.
Yes.
If you call UTA or you contact Lana or myself and you tell us you want this email to them, we will email it to them that quickly.
Yes. Yes.
Believe me, if you have a representative that you talk to and he's interested in sponsoring and helping, we will get it there for you. You just have to tell us who we need to send it to.
Exactly.
This is a small test, by the way, too, right?
Yeah.
This is a test to see how well we've initiated something meaningful.
Yes.
Powerful.
Yes.
It'll actually help. Now the drivers have to participate and help us get what we need.
Oh, it's completely in the driver's hands.
To show that we can go further.
Yes.
Because if we can get this done, we can tackle anything.
Yes. And the only way that we're going to get anything done is we unite together and we do it. It's just a simple little phone call. Let them know the letter's circulating. If you don't got time to take care of it, Charles or I, we'll get it sent to him. I answer my phone when anybody calls. You guys know that. Charles, he's always
day,
on the phone.
Day.
Dude, this phone is hanging out of his ear like a tumor right now. So That's a very excellent letter, and it is for a good cause, and this is what we need at the present moment. And I feel like if we can, if they will do this, we did it through the COVID-19, and like I have explained to Representative Moon, that it is prejudice and it is bias that our federal government only exempts these hours of service when there is a national emergency going on or when it is at their convenience. When it is no more convenient for them or there's no national emergency going on, bam, boom, the clocks are back on.
Yeah,
and
like
we'll
right now, this
schedule.
Affects us, right?
Yep.
It's affecting us. It's not affecting the entire nation because the entire nation is not running up and down the interstate from Maine to California. They're not the ones having rocks thrown at their trucks. They're not the ones having their trucks shot at or windows shot out. So, well, why should we help them, right?
Yeah.
They don't need us to deliver, you know, emergency supplies right now. So we come last. I mean, that's just what it feels like, that whole placation thing you were talking about.
Yeah.
It feels like, well, we'll use them when we need them and we'll praise them. Remember, 3 weeks ago, truckers were heroes.
We were heroes.
This week,
woo!
Thank
God for truckers.
Everybody remember that?
Yes.
What happened?
Nothing.
I don't know.
Stop,
did I miss something?
Stop.
Did you get the email? The memo? I didn't get anything.
They
need to step up and do what's right for this industry. And we need to do it as a collective, guys. Like I said, the letter's here. Anybody that wants it. Matter of fact, Lana and I will get the copy of the letter in a PDF form on the Facebook page or the website or something. The IT guy's over here. He's going, what are you saying? What are you promising? But he'll make it work. He said thumbs up. So we'll find a way to get this thing up. So by the weekend, I promise you, by Saturday, you'll be able to download this and email it to your representative. Slade will make it happen. I promise you.
Guys, we're having technical difficulties again. So let's take a break.
But it's just with the laptop.
So we can keep talking. So should we tell them about our so let me tell you guys a little story here for just a second, okay? This is funny. I sent an email to Elaine Chao, and this email was not a very nice email. It pretty much just went right for the throat, telling her that I thought that she was a horrible person for staying behind closed doors and allowing drivers to be running up and down the road and being shot at, being dragged out of their truck and being beat, having rocks and bricks thrown at them. And she has the power to help with their safety, but she's choosing to hide behind closed doors and to remain quiet and not do anything to help us. So that I hope when she lays down at night that every trucker that has blood on them because they've been harmed or they died, that she has nightmares and that she is stalked by their soul. Well, that was on Monday. On Tuesday, who do I have an email from wanting a meeting, Charles?
Jim Mullins.
He decided he wants to speak with us. Fantastic. So that's going to be tomorrow morning at 9:30. We're going to have a meeting with him, and we're going to see if we can get the hours of service exempted immediately.
We're going to present him with the letter from the representative.
I sent him a copy of the letter so that he knows exactly what we're going to talk. I have let him know that this letter has been sent out to several other representatives, and they are on board with doing this. So
I think one of the questions we'll ask him is, if you say no, then why? Why would you say no? And if it's not in your power, please tell us who has the power to do it.
Yes, we want to know who has the power to do it.
Because I get confused sometimes because one minute it's not their department, it's not their, you know, their responsibility, and the next week it's somebody else. You know, one week they blame Congress, the next week Congress blames them. We need to find out who's really responsible for some of this stuff.
Well, and I think one of the questions that we are going to ask him is that President Trump gave them an open checkbook and to start deregulating, and it has been how many weeks now?
They've done nothing.
And nothing. We've seen no deregulation happen.
Wait, they promised from the very beginning, for every new regulation, they were going to get rid of two bad ones. So what I'm guessing is we have 50 million good regulations in the Green Book that just couldn't be removed to add two more.
The Green Book.
Yeah, you know, the big book.
Never seen it.
Todd Spencer holds it up at the hearings all the time.
Yeah, some, yeah.
Yeah, the Big Green Book. Anybody ever seen the Big Green Book?
The Big Green Egg?
Yeah. I don't remember seeing anything come out of
there. So it must still
be. It was all still there
book.
Last night. I flipped through the book.
Yeah, well, that's a problem, you know. Maybe we need to ask him if we need to buy him a paper shredder.
Yeah.
You know,
so one thing I would ask him tomorrow, and I would say, well, if that's the case, and like I said, for every you were given a directive from the President of the United States.
An executive order.
That said,
yeah.
Go do this.
Yeah.
Go help them, Jim. Go help them, Elaine.
Yeah.
Help the truckers. And it's been 30 days since he said that on national TV, and we haven't seen any relief.
We haven't seen any relief. What we have seen is, once again, Bogdan get pulled out of his truck and beaten and got arrested. He got arrested. The protesters didn't get arrested. He got arrested.
And again, they violated the Hobbs Act. That protest was not a peaceful, organized protest. You do have a right in this country to protest.
Yes, it's our
right. It's in the Constitution.
Yes, it's our Constitution.
But it says you have the right to peacefully assemble to have your grievances addressed.
Yeah.
There was nothing about that protest when Bogdan got up on that bridge that was peaceful from the beginning.
No.
Because it shouldn't have been held in the middle of an interstate.
No. And even though it was held in the middle of the interstate, the police should have been blocking off that road so that nobody could have came flying down through there. It's my understanding that there were no cones up. There was nothing up. So that he
not
knew.
Not at that entrance. There was not.
So that, yeah, that he knew that there was anything going on. People say, oh, he came flying through there 70 miles an hour. You know, he was trying to take people out. No, he wasn't trying to take anybody out because when he came, if you watch the video, when he came flying through there.
He was also empty. He had just completed his delivery at an inner city gas station that nobody else wanted to deliver to. The owner of the gas station knew him, asked him if he would do it. So he not only did all this happen because he did a kind act, with all the protests that were going on, the owner of the gas station, who's also a minority person,
okay,
wanted to make sure there was gas for that neighborhood. So they called. He said, yes, I'll do it. So now he's in the middle. Nobody else wanted to take that load of gas. Let's be clear. Anybody you talk to will tell you he volunteered because everybody else said no. They weren't going into that part of town. They weren't going to be caught in that. But he did a kind act for the man that owned the gas station. Come out, got on the interstate, because 70-foot a truck doesn't just sneak onto an interstate without anybody seeing it.
Okay? No, definitely me hearing
so,
it.
Somebody saw this truck get onto that bridge.
100%.
He was traveling the speed limit. When he crested the bridge, all of you know that this is the I-35 bridge, the one that collapsed. If you've ever been there, you know when you're heading that direction, there's a rise in the bridge. You can't see exactly to the other side of the bridge.
Oh, okay.
You watch the video and he's coming up the knoll to the top of the bridge, you can see the truck starts slowing down. We all know these trucks are designed to stop loaded.
Yeah.
They are not designed to lock the brakes up on an empty truck.
Yeah.
He slowed down. The video clearly shows him slowing down.
Yeah.
He was stopped when they attacked the truck.
Yeah.
When they went into the truck and stole his phone and his wallet.
Yeah.
Took his personal items.
Yes.
And attacked him.
Yes, beat him up.
But the Attorney General in the great state of Minnesota seems to think that he doesn't have to prosecute the people that held, right? They held him captive. They didn't let him leave. They literally, equal to kidnapping. He couldn't get away. He couldn't leave. He couldn't escape the danger. Nobody to this day has been charged with what happened on that bridge. But they want to prosecute the truck driver?
They want to prosecute, you know why? Because no matter what, it's always the truck driver's fault.
Always.
It's always our fault. No matter what we do, everything that we do is wrong. But you know what? We're American heroes. We can
2 weeks ago.
We can work through the COVID-19 and keep the American.
What was it they said? Thank God for truckers.
Yes, thank God for us.
I don't know what happened.
Apparently God, I don't know.
But he wasn't the only one. In Maine, guy's trying to deliver Cisco loads to restaurants at night.
Yeah.
Protesters blocked the street. He tried to edge his way forward. He didn't hit anybody. He didn't hurt anybody. State police arrested him in Maine. Put him in jail.
They shouldn't have been standing in the middle of the street. The guy's trying to make a delivery, right? This could be anybody. This could have happened to any one of you watching.
Yes.
Myself included.
And it can still happen.
What,
you know?
We just continue to play, curl up in the fetal position and allow them to do this to us?
You know, no, we can't.
You have to use your voice. You have to fight back.
We have to take a stand. And, you know, I mean, I hear a lot of the going around about being able to carry.
Absolutely.
And I get that, and I understand that, but here's my point of view on that. There are a couple things here, okay? So I don't know if you could, but I know what I could do or couldn't do, and I'm going to tell you a little story about this. But it's okay for us to carry a weapon in our truck to stand our ground to protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
100%. We have that right.
Absolutely.
If we are being harmed in any way whatsoever, or our equipment's being, you know, anything, we should have the right to protect ourselves. Okay?
Absolutely.
But here's the thing. Okay? You can't protect yourself if you're a moving target.
Correct.
How are you going to do that? You're a moving target. So you got a gun in your truck. Okay, good deal. But you're a moving target. You can't protect yourself from that. All right? So not only that, but there are a lot of people that they are all good and they've got a gun and yada, yada, yada. But when it's time to do something and they pull that out, are they able to pull that trigger? If they're not able to pull that trigger, then that gun is going to get taken away from them, and they're either going to get shot or beat with their own pistol. And if they do pull that trigger, are they going to be able to live with the fact that they killed somebody? They took another human's life.
That's an interesting question, but this is what I would say. At the end of the day, my job is to make it home to my wife and children. That is the only responsibility that I have. Period. Comma. End of story. I'm going to be judged by 12, not carried by 6. I was always taught, if you pull out a weapon and you've gone to the point where you have pointed at somebody, you are pulling the trigger at that point. Why would you frivolously pull a weapon and point it at somebody without the intent of defending your life? You're in imminent danger and harm to protect yourself and your equipment. I'm pulling the trigger. If my weapon is pointed out the window, out the door, or I'm standing on the steps of my truck and someone is coming at me and I am in fear of my life, I will never see my wife and children again, I am pulling the trigger. To answer your question, I could live with that decision because there is my responsibility is to my wife, my children, my grandchildren, and my family. So rest assured, I had thought about it. I knew what the repercussions may be, but the only thing that matters to me is making it home to my family.
And what are the repercussions? What do you think the repercussions are?
Oh, this day and age? This day and age, you probably end up in prison for life if you shoot somebody.
You know, because
defending yourself.
Bogdan,
in today's society.
Bogdan got arrested.
And he didn't even shoot anybody.
He got beat up and he got kicked to jail. So it's because truckers are always in the wrong. Everything that we do is wrong.
It's got to stop.
You know, we have got to change that stereotyping that we have hanging out. It's a black cloud hanging out.
No, but it is basically discrimination.
You know, it is.
It's straight up discrimination,
yes.
Because every other industry can go to D.C. and ask for certain things, and politicians bend over backwards to give the auto manufacturers thing, to give the medical manufacturers thing, to give the airlines and the cruise lines and everybody else. They bend over backwards. The reason they don't really take us seriously is because we just figure we've been beaten. We've been kicked. Nobody listens to us. Nobody hears us. And we just give up.
Why? We are the strongest. We are the strongest working force out there.
We deserve a lot more. We deserve a lot more. We deserve way more. And, again, that goes back to why I've been doing what I've been doing for a year. Is it what I would have done given the choice? Or do I think that we've come to a point where we can write, we can call, we can meet with these people? Even if we have an army of
say we have 50 congressmen on our side and we have 35 senators who want to stand up for the industry. What about all the people that it's painfully obvious? This all goes back to the voting, right? How that's a huge responsibility, like owning a firearm, right?
Yeah.
Voting is a big deal. The only way to change things is to vote the people that are there out.
Out.
Because if you look what just happened, the vote was taken in the Transportation Committee. Every single Democrat voted and allowed that passage. It was right down the middle. So the party that claims to be for the workers has some members of their party believe that they're there to help our industry. They're here to support us. But we've gone so far right and so far left in this country. See, they've both gone too far to one side. There's no compromise. That's why when I tell people, it's a bipartisan attack on trucking. It's not just the Democrats. It's not just the Republicans. The Democrats do what they do to piss off the Republicans. They do it to fight back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, they did this or they won't want this. So we're going to make it we're going to make them miserable. We know that this insurance thing is a bad idea. We know that every truck driver in our district is going to scream foul, but we're going to do it because we're going to piss off the Republicans. So what do the Republicans do? They answer back by pissing off the Democrats with something else. They don't put the needs, like the video you're watching today, one man that I firmly believe is all about the American people and about a humble representative, Captain Clay.
Oh, my God.
Captain
I'm
Clay.
Crying. Oh, Jesus.
Clay
Lord.
Higgins is the most humble man when he talks about criminal reform. Talking
yes.
about how these people deserve to be treated like human beings.
Yes.
That these people, once they've paid their debt, men are fallible. We all make mistakes. You shouldn't pay for it for the rest of your life. And this is a street cop.
Yeah.
Who's now a congressman and was a soldier saying that these are the things our society's lost its moral compass. We're broken.
We are broken.
And we continue to allow these bureaucrats and politicians to make false promises. They blatantly do things to fight with each other. They instigate and incite violence by separating us by class, by color, by income. And we lost my phone again. But that's okay. So we'll talk to the rest of you.
Okay. Yep. We'll just keep talking. So then our next move is to get the hours of service suspended until
very important, by the way.
We have technical issues going on again, guys, so bear with us. This room that we're in, we need to get some better reception in here. I don't know what's going on. So I'm going to read some comments while you're doing that. Okay. So Frida Carmen Cande, I'm sorry, guys. I apologize. So she says, I was telling you I sent an email about the bill and everything, and even tried to make phone call to Mitch McConnell and his wife, Elaine Chao. So, okay, well, thank you for doing that. We really appreciate that, guys. You know, DOT told us we can carry a gun as long as it is in our bunk because it's considered our home. Have you heard that?
No, I have not.
Oh.
I didn't believe there was any restriction to being if you're a licensed, permitted firearm, you're permitted to carry a firearm, open carry, concealed carry. You can carry your weapon in your truck as long as the ammunition is stored in one place
and your gun is
and
stored
the gun
in
is stored
the...
in one. They can't
yeah.
be together. You can't carry a loaded weapon.
Okay.
But I do believe that maybe we should have one of our experts that does this on one of these shows.
Yes, I agree.
There was an officer that a couple years back broke this all down.
Yeah.
Maybe that would be informational for me.
Yeah, that would be great. So she also says, yes, I need help to light a big fire under my senator of Kentucky. So would you like a copy of this letter, or would you like for us to send this copy of this letter to your senator of Kentucky? Just let us know. She also says, I won't stop till I get under their skin, LOL. Our state is open to bear arms. What?
technology.
Oh, you got to love live shows,
hey,
guys.
But we've recovered.
So.
We would be good NASCAR drivers.
We would.
We've had some really bad near wrecks in the corners,
yeah, yeah.
But we've got the straight
bam.
Wind. Bam,
we're back in here. Yeah. So that's our next move is to try to get the hours of service exemption. And then when we're done, when we get that done, because I'm sure it's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
What's going to be the next move? What's our next challenge that we're going to take on?
Reclassification.
Reclassification.
Yes. And I don't want to go too in-depth because you know what happens when you start.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're going to tackle that item and tort reform. On insurance.
So what is tort reform?
The same thing that doctors and hospitals have been trying, that medical professionals have been trying to make happen for years. These nuclear verdicts make it very hard for people. Trial attorneys, the only one that benefit from these huge nuclear verdicts, right?
Okay.
It's the same thing in trucking right now.
Okay.
That's why Cartley proposed this. Because if they increase the amount of money that's available, for victims to claim. Look, think of it this way. It's horrible. Accidents happen every day. People die in the hospital. Things happen in life. Does $50 million or $250 million bring your loved one back?
No amount of money brings your loved one back.
So who benefits? Does the victim benefit? Or do the trial attorneys who get 60% of awards that go to trial? Now, in my case, like with my accident, it didn't even go to trial, and the trial attorney got 35% of the award. So when it goes to trial, they claim more money. They're allowed more of an award. They take more of your settlement. The same thing has happened in these nuclear verdicts with these trucking companies, which drives the rates up because insurance companies start to see patterns, and they say, wow, these people are suing these companies, these trucking companies, and it's easy to do, right? Because one of the problems we have in this industry and we continue to have is the lack of training, right? A lot of these accidents are caused by four-wheelers. It's caused by their inability to understand how to behave around us 9 times out of 10.
And why is that? Because they're scared.
Exactly.
They're
because
scared of
nobody has taken the time to educate the public. When's the last time you saw a campaign or a billboard other than the no-zone trailer that you occasionally see somewhere driving down the road and says, don't get in your blind spot? When's the last time you saw a public service ad? And remember, the government has money to do this.
Yeah.
The DOT, the FMCSA. That's their job, highway safety. The National Highway Safety Administration also has funds. When's the last time you saw a commercial on TV that says, don't cut off a truck?
You know what? That's a good thing. Let's put that on our list to speak to.
Don't
you know?
Follow
yeah.
a truck so closely.
Educate the public about trucking.
But not just through a couple memes on Facebook and talking in Facebook Live. There should be billboards.
Yeah.
There should be commercials on TV.
Yeah.
You know, show these kids, go to these schools and show these kids some of these horrific wrecks where these kids have been texting and they've run into the path of a truck. It's bad enough when they're killed texting or being distracted while they're driving and they just run off the road or they hit a tree or they go into a ditch, right? What about the responsibility on part of the motoring public to know how to behave around us? We have a job to do. Your husband's not jumping in his semi and running to Walmart to get groceries. He's left the state of Missouri, headed to California to deliver a product that people are dependent on. They need that product. So he's not out joyriding. He's trying to do a job. We share the road with people that are on vacation. They're going to the mall. They're running to Denny's. They're going to work. They're going home at the end of the day. But yet still, they travel the same road every day, all week long, and they travel the third lane to their exit, and they have to cut off every truck to get off.
Yes.
Why?
Because they're not paying attention.
Or what about that guy? He's behind you on a two-lane road, and you keep seeing him in the mirror, and he's going to the left.
Yep.
Going to the left.
Yeah.
And there's a car coming. But he's going to fly around you.
Yeah.
And you have to move over so that the car that's coming the opposite direction has room to get through what could have been a disaster.
Yeah. You're right.
So why isn't the FMCSA, the DOT, and the National Highway Safety Administration, why are they not funding commercials, billboards, printed material to educate the public on how to behave around this? Why?
You know, that
would make too much sense.
It would make too much sense. And that would be a good thing that we could do here at the UTA is, you know, we could set up a educational
thing. We're going to get involved in some of that.
For schools to be able to go to schools, you know, and get some type of seminar for, you know, the kids that are getting their driver's license.
Show them.
Contract. Yeah.
Show
exactly.
them a blind spot, okay?
Yeah.
Park a car, have a kid stand there, and then have one of their classmates sit in the seat of the truck and say, can you see your friend? Are you confident your friend's not there? Because if you don't think he's there, I'm going to move the truck now. Are you sure he's not standing there? And then have them open up the door and look and see if their friend is standing right there.
Yeah.
These people aren't educated on blind spots on these trucks. And there are a lot of them. Depending on the type of truck you're driving, there could be 5, 6, 7 blind spots on the truck. Some trucks have 2 or 3 blind spots. But
and most 16-year-olds don't even know what a blind spot is. When you say, you know, why are you in the trucker's blind spot? They don't even know what a blind spot is. My mom is one of the worst people out there on the road when a semi is around her. I mean, she just, for whatever reason, just freaks out. She will slow down because she's scared to death to have them beside her, you know, or she'll try to get out from around them. But when she's trying to get out from around them, you know, she's just crazy. I mean, it's just... And I'm just
like stopping distance, right? These people that like to pull out a driveway, right? I say we a 4-lane divided highway where there's traffic from businesses. These people pull out. They don't realize that it takes the length of 2 football fields to stop a loaded tractor trailer.
Yep.
Oh, but we have 18 wheels. You've heard the story, right? We have 18 wheels, so we stop faster because we have more brakes. This is what they don't – that's what I'm saying. They don't understand. Now, I don't want to spend too much time on this.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things.
Yeah.
But – there needs to be some education for the motoring public because when the autonomous trucks get here, they aren't going to have the ability to think, feel compassion, to make decisions based on, I'm going to save a life. I'm going to do what I need to do to protect that family. I'm going to take an action that may harm me. These trucks aren't going to do that. But see, as it stands now, every day, we're forced into situations that we have to make decisions because of stupidity.
You're right. And there are drivers out there that, what was it, how many drivers last year, their trucks caught on fire and they drove their truck out of a residential area or wherever it was, away from, you know, society so that nobody got harmed.
A couple of times.
An autonomous truck's not going to be able to do that, you know, and what makes their trucks
special. And make no mistake, we all know the threat of these autonomous trucks. A couple of years ago, they kept telling us this is Star Trek Gene Roddenberry stuff. It's never going to happen.
Oh, I know.
And then all of a sudden, we're 10 years.
Yep.
15 max. And what people need to understand is the majority of the jobs that are going to be affected are long-haul trucking jobs that are easily, you can take a load straight across the country on an interstate to an urban area where the truck can then be unloaded and brought into the city.
Yeah.
These are the jobs that are going first. And that is better than 50% of our industry does long haul over the road trucking. So these are the jobs.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff. I've had fun talking to you tonight, by the way.
Oh, I really, really appreciate you being here. Yeah. So do you guys have any calls? Go ahead and call in. It's 516-387-1733. We're going to take a, well, actually, guys, huh? Wow, our hour's up.
Crazy, right?
Man, it's over with. So I really appreciate everybody tuning in tonight. I really appreciate the support.
Sorry about the technical. We're trying to get this system up and running.
Yeah.
This is the first night we've ever used the camera and recording, you know, what you did tonight and the microphone and, you know, trying to have all these devices going at once. But we'll have it all worked up. It'll continue to be fun.
That's okay.
Lana will be back in the studio sooner or later. She's not going to go anywhere.
It creates character.
And it was really fun sitting next to you doing this.
Yeah, I had fun with you being here.
And you're here till Sunday.
I am here till Sunday. So guess what?
We'll have some more fun.
Maybe we can do it again tomorrow night. You
know?
Never know.
About
we gotta get.
I have something I need to do tomorrow night anyway.
So. You do.
Yeah, for UTA. On the UTA page. I'm going to do a live weekly thing, and I'll update them. Maybe you could join me for that.
I would love to.
You
want to
join?
Yes, I would love to join.
And the IT guy, Slade, the guy you don't see, who's hiding over there, he's moving the camera. Slade will have this under control by tomorrow night, I assure you.
You better have it.
Right, Slade?
Slade,
say hi to the people. Say hi to the people.
Slade?
That is Slade, the IT man.
Slade is going to be Slade, you know.
He's going to be in big trouble. He don't fix it.
All right, guys. I'm
Thank
gonna...
you for joining us,
yeah,
everybody.
We appreciate
Sorry
it.
Again that we had to restart this three times.
Yeah.
I hope you had fun. I hope you do take Mike Moon's letter. You call Lana. You call me. You can go to the UTA website, and you can push that button to call, and it's going to ring to my phone. So if you want a copy of this letter, you can email me at charles.c@unitedtransportationassn.com. Lana has the same email, but it is Lana. What is your email?
What's my email, Slade?
It's Lana.
It's Lana.
Lana.
Lana. Lana Banana.
Okay.
Come on.
Give him your email.
I don't. What's my email? Lana.
Yeah, her same as mine, but mine is charles.c because I was the original and we made it complicated.
Frida, I will get you a copy.
Send me a PM
of the email that you want me to send it to, and I will get you a copy sent.
Transparency, guys.
Okay?
You want this letter, we'll get it in your hands, and you can get it to your representatives. We will share the tools and resources. We're going to continue to stay positive, work forward, work together, and do what we set out to do, which is serve the drivers.
Serve the drivers, because you know what? Their voices is the only thing that really matters.
They're
one. Everything about them matters.
My husband's out there driving.
He don't matter.
And he matters to
no,
me.
He doesn't matter anymore.
He's my I love you, Keith.
Yeah, he's got him as my love on your phone.
That's right.
Yeah, like otherwise.
Guys,
all
have
right.
a great night. Thanks
Let me
for
do my
us.
Sign off here. If you guys are picking up or delivering a load, listen, the coronavirus is still out there. We don't need any more drivers losing their lives to this because we are being careless. I know that it's an inconvenience to mask up, glove up, and practice the 6 feet social distancing for your own safety. So if you are picking or delivering a load, please wear your mask, wear your gloves. Make sure you do your social distancing while you're out there. Make sure that you guys say hi to Charlotte.
And Jules is here. They've been playing together all day long.
Yeah, Jules is here too. Yeah, she's some boy. We try to social distance her. I'll tell you that much right now.
Didn't work out very
well. No. So, anyways, you guys have a good night. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your support, each and every one of you.
Bye.
Bye.
I don't give a shit. Okay. So you're at the
Hello.
You're at the
We're still on.
Bye. You're out of memory, and your Facebook app keeps crashing. So I don't know if you update it. I'm going to reinstall. But that's what's happening. Your Facebook app is crashing.
Why?
I don't know. Well, probably because you're.